got my dice and I got my friends. We're going on a quiz that never ends. You know when there is trouble abound, me and my crew will always be around. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Lone Gunman, and it's time for the Gamers Haven Podcast with your hosts, Ethan, Jeremy, and Nathan.
Kick it off for us.
I will. Welcome back to the Gamers Haven Podcast. If you made it this far, you might have heard new theme music. I don't know if that's going on this episode or not, but we might have new theme music.
Sweet. Kick ass.
Oh, that Lone Gunman guy I've been talking to, he's actually writing a thing for us.
Excellent.
But hey, we'll see. We'll see what he comes up with. You might have just heard the regular music, and now you've moved on to us blathering on about something that didn't happen. Which happens a lot. We blather a lot. You know, but that's
it. It's our show. We can do what we want.
That's true. It is our show, and we can do what we want. Well, we're going to be talking a bit about house rules. Using them, making them, I guess, all that crazy stuff, whatever pops into our heads when we want to talk about them. In the meantime, what's been up with everybody? Anything overly interesting? I've got finals coming up this next 2 weeks, and so I'm going to be outright insane with various things going on.
Just desperately trying to find a job.
Mm-hmm. There's that. Is that our games have sort of been put on a hiatus for now, just because of various things.
Well, Andre's game is still going.
Uh-huh. Yes, and a perfect confluence of stuff has kept me from it for a little while.
Well, one game session.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be out of town tomorrow too.
Oh,
I'm
bummer.
Tomorrow. Hopefully, I should be able to make the one after that. real life. It sucks sometimes.
Well, the next one after that would be on the weekend that you have your Spanish final.
Uh-huh.
We'll see.
I should be able to make it in the evening.
That's true.
We'll see. Anyway, more importantly, you know, we're getting up, we're getting close to the summer, so we should have a good amount of time to throw down with some games. I know when Tracy comes down for CanCon, he wants to try to do a Justice City game with us all together, which would be pretty sweet. Plus, I know you're running some CanCon stuff, right?
Yeah, a couple things.
I am too.
Have you submitted them yet?
Yeah, two role-playing games, and I definitely want to run Invaders from Outer Space.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, I'm definitely running
Dancing
that.
Bear.
Yeah, JoJo the Dancing Bear.
JoJo the Dancing Bear. Best character ever. I'm going to play it in all the games now.
Yeah.
You just need to get... Go to the company and ask for 4 copies of it. So, you know, if you have 4 players, they all play JoJo the Dancing Bear. No matter what. Jeremy, you'd like JoJo the Dancing Bear. Uh-huh. It's a big bear in a tutu.
I've said I would play JoJo the Dancing Bear.
Definitely worth it.
In anything, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, has it replaced your Illithid Lizard Man?
Mm, yeah. No.
No? Mm. But the bear's got a tutu.
But I have 6 of the Lizard Men.
That's true.
I don't have the Dancing Bear.
We'll have to get you 7 of the Dancing Bear.
True.
And then the Dancing Bear will rule all.
No, he'll just be the familiar for everybody. Anybody who plays the mage will just have
him. My familiar.
Is he useful in combat? No.
No, he just dances.
Damn. Dang it.
And I was telling these guys, I went and saw Source Code over the weekend,
Travels?
Yes. Very Quantum Leap, very good, I enjoyed it. It was nice to see Jake Gyllenhaal in a movie that didn't suck.
Is it Gyllenhaal or Gyllenhaal? I've never known how to pronounce
Gyllenhaal, I don't know. It's that guy. Good movie, though. Yeah, I found it fun and interesting. I'm ready for the summer movies to kick off with... Thor, although there's a movie coming out called Dylan Dog. Seen the trailer for that yet?
Mm-mm.
It's based on a comic book. It's starring Brandon Routh, and it's he plays a private investigator for the undead.
Oh, wait. I have seen a preview for that.
It looks pretty cool.
I was watching the preview going, wait a minute, yeah. That's Superman.
It's about vampire. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's based on a comic book, like an indie comic, mm. but It looks pretty fun.
I actually
I'd like to see it.
I watched a movie that I kept putting off because it looked so stupid, and I've sat down and I watched it at the request of someone, and actually was actually entertained. I watched Jennifer's Body, horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
It looked so stupid,
so bad.
Yeah, but actually it was decent. It was it was actually pretty well done, surprisingly.
Well, I sat down and watched The Hangover, and it was dumb.
I thought I told you that when I sat down and watched it.
Yeah, you probably did.
Yeah, when I last year, I was like, "Don't."
Enough other people were like, "Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny." It's like, "Okay, fine, I'll watch it." Not funny.
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
It's
The sequel's coming out this summer, so it's everyone's all.
The problem I have with it is that
it's a stupid comedy, is what it is.
Yeah.
There's no intelligence in it whatsoever. That's why I hated it.
Yeah.
Oh well. Anyway, banter.
Yeah. What happened to intelligent comedy? It just vanished off the face of the earth.
It exists on occasion, but it's very rare. But anyway, that's really. I mean, not a whole heck of a lot's been going on around here, around with us that we can talk about. So we are going to be right back.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. With a huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
The Devious Book of Fumbles and Crits from Unknown Tome Publishing. A 4th edition D&D supplement for all levels, featuring 63 new unique treasures, including 6 item sets and 28 new hazards and terrain powers. The Devious Book of Fumbles and Crits will have you critting and fumbling your way into D&D gold. Visit our website to pick up this product in print or as a PDF.
This is the Vorpal Network.
Haven't used it in my notebook in a while.
Well, we are back, and today, as we said in the intro, we're going to be talking about house rules in your game and sort of playing them, doing your thing with them, whatnot. But I think all of us have done our share of house rules, and you can do them in any game. My personal favorite house rule, I really enjoyed using, since we all espouse the awesomeness of Savage Worlds, one of the house rules I generally do for that one is to get out of shaking, it's either a spirit or a vigor check. So it can be tough in spirit, tough in vigor.
Also allowing healing a little bit more often.
Yes, and healing more often is always always entertaining. I guess my logic in implementing a rule like that sort of goes into all of house rules is it fun for the players, and is it... As far as it being balanced, I think ultimately it needs to be you can use it as a GM or use it as a player, but ultimately as a GM, if you want the guy to stay unconscious or stay shaken, he stays shaken. Who cares? But I think something like that for players is always a definite benefit. But I typically like house rules overall. I've run into a few that are kind of questionable, and ultimately it depends on the GM and how strict they want to be. Examples of some house rules that I've been in that I've not liked really was Blythe use of incidental paradox in the mage game that I played.
That was a stupid sound
where even it was reality itself backlashing on you,
even in your
domicile and whatnot. That always annoyed me.
So that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but
I mean, reality in some places, I guess, could be that pissed off that you were trying to alter it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have spent years altering a place to your mind and you're a mage, reality is what you have made it.
Mm-hmm. The whole point of the game is that you alter reality.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yes, paradox is nice, but I think paradox really just sort of works best if it's in...
It depends on the situation.
You're doing it, obviously. And then,
yeah.
If you have your paradox.
But if you can explain it away or you can hide it within a crowd,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's totally ways around it. It's just, I think paradox should be used. It should be used to keep players from casting fireballs. This isn't a mage game.
Yeah.
Casting fireballs in the middle of New York City during rush hour.
Well, I specifically remember the things that came up with that is like I was staying or talking to another player character in our little area or in our shard realm dimension thing, and I needed to pull a shotgun out of nowhere. And so I had to walk over and basically kick a table and act like it had fallen. It was like taped to the bottom of the table and catch it.
In your shard realm?
Kind of stupid. Like, we're in our shard realm. I should just go snap my fingers and it's there. And
well, cares, if you're going to be that picky with paradox, then you can't have a shard realm.
Exactly.
And also magic doesn't function.
Uh-huh.
Because reality wouldn't allow it.
Yeah,
exactly. At all.
That was my argument against the whole incidental paradox thing. It's like, okay, if reality didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't happen.
So I mean,
the whole point that you are able to do this stuff means reality lets you do it.
Incidental paradox would be more, and even it wouldn't be incidental at this point. It would be if you walked into like IBM's computer campus,
mm-hmm.
and there's all those science mages, the tech whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work.
The way that we got around it basically was he basically said, and now unless you cast magic through a focus, then you'll get incidental paradox. So we all came up with some focus to use.
But why?
Magic through. And I'm like, so what's the difference that I'm casting this through a wand or some crazy
I mean,
like
I
that?
Can understand you're using a wand to focus it to target things or to focus mm-hmm. your concentration or, you know, things like that. But why for paradox? That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, I got nothing. I really don't.
I mean, even in my twisted mind, that doesn't make any sense.
Uh-huh. And you have a twisted mind.
It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I like mage games. No, that doesn't make any sense. That's mm-hmm. just stupid.
Now, sort of running down the systems, D&D it lends itself quite a bit to house rules. A lot of different GMs will run the game differently and have different things in there.
I like to write my... to get them all written down.
A few of the house rules that I've used in D&D that I can recall off the top of my head have been the ability to cast spells out of your spell book directly as if you're casting it from a scroll.
Now, this would be like 3.
It takes an extra
this would be like 3.0,
3.5. Yes, a third editor or yeah. Pathfinder would work too. But that got kind of problematic near the end, but by the point you guys were 25th level, I really didn't care anymore because you guys, well, were 25th level.
At the same time, if it's really problematic though, you have to keep in mind that the NPCs can do the same thing.
Yeah.
So really, especially with 3.0.
Yeah, I just kind of at the end, I ignored spell list anyway.
Yeah.
And he's going to cast a 25d8. A delayed blast fireball on you.
Well, with NPC spellcasters,
you had enough hit points, it didn't matter.
Yeah,
especially Andrew's character.
Well, yeah,
1,000 points or some crazy.
But that was hilarious, thing. And that was also an epic level.
Yeah, I mean, he was a 25th level epic barbarian. So yeah, he had hit points out the yin yang.
I think the main thing with house rules is to one. Okay, make it quite clear that, hey, you're going to play this through. If it doesn't work, you'll get rid of it. But if you're going to keep a house rule or you're going to use a house rule, you need to write it down and you need to mm-hmm. make it available to the players so that they know it exists. Whether they read the paper that you hand out or not, that's not your business. As long as you acknowledge that it's there, it's within sure. their character portfolio, you're saying you're going to use it, and you're like, well, for such and such, when you can recharge this power by spending this,
mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. If a player don't use that, that's none of your business. I mean, yeah. Whatever. You can remind them if you're nice, if not. I just don't like house rules that I don't like house rules that punish players.
Yeah.
That doesn't have any reason to punish the player.
That's the key thing. The house rules I like are the ones that just make the game a bit more, a bit
either
not easier, but a bit more friendlier.
It and, either,
and, you know, able to play player friendly.
It either gets rid of rules that are clunky, or maybe it just adds character.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a fluff rule.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe it's something that, you know, your players might like because it's come up before.
Sure.
But you're not really sure how to, like last time it took too long to figure out. So you figured out something.
Right.
And you're like, well, if it comes up again, this is what we're doing.
Right, right.
So you're trying to keep it consistent. But if there's no, like, role-playing reason for it to punish someone, it's like sometimes with, like, hit points or how many hit points you get, you know, or some healing things, you know. If the game is so brutal, then there's no point.
Mm-hmm.
If all the house rules are just against you,
yeah,
unless straight off from the bat you're like, this game is this brutal, and
right,
the players are like, I understand that, but
yeah you know, it goes into what type of game you're playing, you know, but going into like a D&D game, you don't expect it to be too horribly deadly, at least nowadays.
Well, yeah.
Like if it was first ed or second ed, then you expect to go in and have horrible death rained upon you, especially if you're a mage.
Until you get higher level.
Until you get higher level.
And then you hide in your tower, and then you're like, whatever, you all die, because, yeah.
Cloud kill. Anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, I think you just have to be fair with it, and some of them, it's like with the magic items.
Mm-hmm.
In fourth ed. Okay, like the campaign, like adventuring items. Maybe mm-hmm. not magic items in the, like, swords and stuff, but, like, I hated having to track milestones for magic item use.
Yeah.
That's kind of irritating.
Did they get rid of that?
I think they kind of did. I think it's...
Well, I think they
I think they simplified it or
they,
something.
They simplified it. Well, you used to only be able to use, like, one of the daily powers, but now you can use any of them.
Yeah.
But then they recharge in a milestone type of thing.
Something like that. But, like...
Or they recharge after.
I'd have to look at it.
They might have gotten rid of the whole milestone business.
I don't know. All I know is that things like wondrous items like instant campsites and stuff,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't even have to worry about.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, that type of stuff.
Yeah, stuff that has non-combat.
Non-combat stuff, you should just use it. And quirks are perfectly fine.
With D&D, I mean, like, you're pretty lax on non-combat uses of powers.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Like, if you use a daily power for some out-of-combat effect, then, you know,
it's kind of iffy. Yeah, yeah, it depends on the situation.
Like, for example, my turning into a bird.
Yeah, yeah, that's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. I mean, if I turn into a it technically is a daily thing, but it gives me that I can attack power, but if I use it to just fly up somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that.
And also, it depends on how abusive some players
right,
are.
Right, right.
I don't think I'd use it.
It really depends. I mean, it really... Because some things, you're just like, the game's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
The game is just going to sit here, and you're not going to have fun, and you're not going to get to use your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a player just wants to use his stuff.
Well, Nathan, what's your feelings on house rules?
You know, when they're used right, they work really well. But when they're used bad, as in the case with your magic mage, the Ascension game,
the incidental paradox,
Paradox. Yeah, it becomes
a
living
fun
hell.
Game otherwise.
And Paradox wasn't fun in that case then.
Oh, God.
Paradox should be, even though Paradox should sometimes be irritating,
mm-hmm.
it should also be fun. Like, dropping the marbles. Do you remember what's his crazy nuts that was in my mage game? Periwinkle or whatever.
Yeah.
He was capturing Stinging Paradox in marbles,
mm-hmm.
and he was storing it in a jar. And at some point, he was going to have too much. And actually, I think at the end he did, and it got all weird.
Yeah,
you should have crazy stuff like that, especially in a mage game. Why does it have to just mess you up?
Well, yeah,
in that way, why can't it give you a nerfless tick? Why can't it just turn your hair green?
You know, the way I would run it, have it do just oddball things. It's like, for 24 hours or for a week, the water that comes out of your tap is actually maple syrup.
Right.
And you're like, I don't know why it's doing this.
Or like
it's reality giving you the finger going,
right.
Stop messing around.
Or like in the Dresden Files.
Yeah.
Incidental Paradox. electronic stuff
yeah.
of a certain level doesn't work around him very well, mm-hmm. or it blows up. Or
it's a free, it's pre-World War II
right.
stuff.
That is perfectly fine for incidental paradox.
Yeah, it's not crippling. It just nope. adds another level of
because he can still use a gun. Yeah. He uses a revolver.
Well, yeah.
And he's fine.
Uh-huh.
But those machine guns, and he's learned how to use some of that to his advantage, which is perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it still screws him over once in a while.
Yeah, he learns how to, he hexes things in later books. He doesn't do that too much in the early stuff. But
yeah, when it gets later on, he gets really good about that.
But some rules, I mean, some games.
Well, that's all from that.
Yeah. I guess it depends on if you're playing with a group of friends. You, some house rules are to be used to smooth things over for a campaign.
Right.
If you're playing in a convention, you kind of got to keep the rules. These are the rules for balance.
Yeah. And well, you know, with a convention game, it's when you sit down, you need to make sure that everyone knows the rules. Like when I run Feng Shui, I have a house rule that I've used for years. Of normally in the game, if you you always have your passive dodge, which is your highest combat action value. And then if you actively dodge, you delay your shot, but you delay your next action by one shot, blah, blah, blah. And then you just add three to your passive. Well, I say you add three plus you get a die roll, which can mean you do horribly, but it could also mean you get a 25 on your dodge and, you know, you dance up and down on the bullets and, you know, moon the guy in the
right.
single action. And,
well, you're fine.
But that's also feng shui for crying out loud. So. Well, so I also don't feel too horribly bad when I do a horrible amount of damage to people in that game because it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, very rarely especially does anybody ever die. In,
yeah, what was that? That Bruiser got thrown off the top of the
uh-huh.
was crap. Can't remember the name of the building now.
The one I remember specifically was thrown off a 37-story building and he got back up.
Yeah, and got hit by a car.
Yes, and he got hit by a car. And that pissed him off. He took a couple wound points from it, but you know, he got up and came back and got in the elevator, came back up.
That is hilarious.
So there's the one that got hit by the car, got angry, and flipped the car over because it hit him.
Well, you know.
But anyway.
Sometimes you just have to flip over a car.
Like the big Bruiser had like got slammed with a helicopter.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Yeah, I think I know which one. It was the Burrow attack copter.
Mm-hmm.
But
I never had a lot of luck with helicopters.
Well, if you introduce a helicopter to, I know if I'm playing in one and you introduce a helicopter, it has to go down uh-huh. and as quickly as possible because uh-huh. that's funny
uh-huh.
and it's awesome.
I have to put a helicopter in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen 1977 adventure,
and then it will have to go down.
And it will have to die. Well,
now
in the 88 one, I had Blue Thunder and Airwolf, so. They did fairly well. I forget how they took those out. I'll have to listen to those games again. Lovely tangent. That's great.
But house rules could also include like new rituals,
uh-huh.
how things function.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't like how a feat works,
mm-hmm.
Or you think it's too limiting.
Yeah.
Or
as long as you're upfront about it, and you know, and. This is one thing I want to stress about your house rules is be willing to change them if they don't work.
Yeah.
If you try them out and you're not liking them, or if your players come to you and say, dude, this really sucks. Can we not do that?
Yeah.
Don't tell them to go, you know, sit and spin. Tell them to, you know, it's like, okay, well, let's try it this way, or, you know, try to always make it a cooperative experience.
Yeah. But work with your players.
I don't know. I think house rules are a GM's way of... really a GM's way of playing in the game and sort of molding the game to what he wants it to be as far as a play experience and a running experience.
Well, and house rules can add, if maybe it's just the fluff stuff, but maybe it's fluff with some bite.
Yeah.
Not bad bite, but I mean, just...
And honestly, you know, sometimes it fixes glaring errors. That
yeah.
Game design
or things that just don't work for your players. Or maybe the monster you're throwing at people just doesn't work.
Specific style of campaign
right.
you're running. Because, I mean, that could just be, it could just entirely be a style thing. Is your first campaign you're running is really gritty and, you know, you want to have this hardcore combat type of thing. Well, the next one you're running, let's do high fantasy with, you know, dragons and monsters and all this, you know, big stuff that you're running around. You're doing all this heroic stuff and you're being awesome. So we're not going to do this thing if you crit on the monster, your head explodes or something.
That'd be cool. Can I give an example of a house rule?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me dig it up. It'll be a moment.
I think my in the superheroes game I'm running, the house rule I've got so far in that one is the well, first off, you guys start with, I give you 3 hero points to start off with rather than just one. That's cool. Mainly because I forget to give you guys hero points, and I'm like, you know, more hero points the merrier. I sort of make them work a little bit more like Benny's that way.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It still works. I mean, it, really, for the superhero game, I just look at it as I want everyone to have fun, and I want to have fun. So if you guys are doing horribly and, like, dying in horrible ways or, you know, getting yourself maimed, then you're probably not going to be having fun in the superhero game because it's a superhero game. The other one I did was change the innate power advantage to a power to be ranked instead of just a flat purchase, flat 1 point buy, but stuff like that. I think it helps the game, you know, ultimately. And, you know, if people don't like it, you can talk to the GM, talk to me, and I change it. What's your house rule, Jeremy?
Well, this is for sword and wizardry house rules.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the stuff is exactly like what the sword and wizardry is.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of things that I will be using, for example, class and race. Class does not affect the class level that you can reach. There is also no restriction on what class a race can be. There may be cultural barriers that could be a problem, because in swords and wizardry, they could go back to the whole, if you're an elf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I never liked that. It's like first edition, but I never liked that.
Yeah.
I thought it was ridiculous. So I got rid of that. Here's one of my biggest changes, and this is kind of because of my world and stuff, but clerical magic functions a little bit different than written.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all first level cleric spells are considered to be at will. So I'm kind of blurring the line there. Basically, they're simple prayers. And though a cleric may only know a certain number based on their level,
mm-hmm.
But they can cast them, whatever.
Sure.
After that, though, you have to basically make a check because you're a prey. And it's a difficulty check. It's just basically DC 10 plus a spell level plus spell difficulty and so on and so on. And it's a faith check. Pretty right. Straightforward because you have to call on the gods this particular time to receive.
Sure.
Critical failures and hits. That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
One is a failure. Damage dice. Open-ended. but that's true on only on physical attacks, not on magic.
Sure.
Magic is set.
Yeah.
But this is for both. So.
Yeah, so it can suck both ways.
It can suck both ways.
I guess the key thing to remember, and a lot of players don't make that connection. It's like, man, this is sucking for us.
Right.
As a GM, you need to make sure right. You're making rules that are not just handicapping players, because that's right. Just going to piss them off.
Luck rolls, keeping that in there. And then magic users, spellcasters, like mages. Because mages always get screwed. And also mages for this particular sword and wizardry type thing get their magics from daemons. And basically, first and second level spells are considered at will. But like all spells must still be memorized. Mm-hmm. Third and fourth level spells are considered encounter spells, just like in 4E. Fifth and sixth level spells are considered to be daily powers. And changing out a spell takes 10 minutes per level of the spell. Pretty easy. Spells of seventh level and higher are unheard of in mortal realms, though likely would be rituals, because this is kind of a Age of Legends, like way back before humanity type thing.
Sure.
And then how they level up is a little bit different. And also, whenever a spell of third level or higher is cast by a mortal mage, there's a chance of Wild Surge. And then I have a Wild Surge table. These are all house rules that I'm putting with the sword and swords and wizardry stuff, because it makes more sense to me. I also have household or house rules for a particular god because of the campaign, but.
Some people might think that you know, the game designers would be pissed off about people making house rules, but I really don't think they would be.
No, actually, from what I've read on Sword and Wizardry, it's a perfect game for house rules,
uh-huh.
And they even mention that.
I mean, a lot of people get all especially about rules lawyers get all pissy. It's like, well, that's not how it is in the rule book. But
it's like well, who cares?
Go and talk to the game designer. I guarantee you the game designer is going to say, play the game however you want. You know, if you don't like this rule, throw it out. Do something else. The whole point is it's game and having fun. I know people say that all the time, but that's really true.
Right.
But what are your, let me ask you this. What are your favorite, what are your guys' favorite house rules that you run into?
Let's see. I think my favorite house rule that I've ever run into was one that I had in Shadowrun that, on a gun I was using, it was like a trank. It was the narco jet gun. Mm-hmm. Reload time on that gun was literally like two rounds of combat because it fired a dart, then you had to pop another dart in and breach the chamber. Mm-hmm. Basically, I was allowed to reload it again because it was the only weapon I had because my guy was not willing to kill people.
Sure.
And so after the first session of following the rules for the gun and almost having the whole party wiped out because I couldn't reload my gun and got shot into the wall and I was the only one that had a weapon at the time and – they changed the rule, which really, really helped in that respect for me because it kept us moving a little bit better in the future. The other rule, there was a house rule. I can't remember exactly what the house rule did, but it was used in Werewolf by the good Mike. Mm-hmm. And I think it had something to do with specific types of wounds. And it was just – it made the game seem a little bit better, in my opinion. It was a lot edgier than how Werewolf normally was.
Now, what was that rule?
I don't remember the exact wording. It had something to do with certain types of wounds between subdual and the stun, the bruising wounds and the actual...
In Werewolf?
Yeah.
The nasty ones with aggravated damage.
Yeah. It had something to do with aggravated damage, where certain attacks that normally didn't do aggravated damage...
Did aggravated
damage, which caused, you know, things like your werewolf to, you know, go into frenzy.
Sure.
And, you know, eat the face off of the person who just irritated him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always called it...
was bad.
Yeah, we always called it aggravating damage.
Yeah, Werewolf was awesome, though.
Yes, I liked Werewolf.
Jeremy, favorite house rule?
I don't know. I don't really have, like, favorite house rules. I like house rules that make the game easier to play. I mean, like the healing in Deadlands, how it's written is, it's too vicious. Because,
well, Deadlands in general is supposed to be pretty nasty.
But even in the normal Savage Worlds, while I love Savage Worlds,
healing is,
it can be kind of
bad.
If you want to have a campaign and keep the game going, you get a little bit of leeway.
Now, would you consider, I personally think that Savage Worlds is one of the easiest games to house roll.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do it.
Well, because the... Okay, 4E is pretty easy, but your Savage Worlds is super easy.
4E, I don't know how easy that is.
I haven't had any problems.
You can outright ignore certain rules in the game, but I don't know.
But Savage Worlds is the easiest right now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know enough about GURPS to tell.
GURPS.
Or the D6's system.
The Tri-Stat system?
No, the D6.
Which one?
The
old school D6.
Oh, the old Star Wars D6?
Star Wars D6.
Well, and they have fantasy D6. And all that.
D6.
I'm not sure how easy that one is. I just know the magic system was ridiculous. I think Savage Worlds is pretty easy to...
Mm-hmm. Well, Savage Worlds is a lot easier because my brother made the observation, you can give a random +2 or just a +1, and it actually means something in Savage Worlds. Whereas like in D&D, not so much.
I have a +3 on my weapon. That doesn't really mean
anything.
Well,
it kind of depends on the situation, though.
It depends on what level you are.
It depends on also...
Like if you get up to 20th level, here's a +2.
Yeah.
So what?
Again, it depends on how you use it. But for Savage Worlds... I would have to agree. It means more.
Yeah. When you say, go ahead and roll your stat, add +2, everyone goes, woohoo, I got this one.
Yeah. Well, it's because your target number is usually a four. So, I mean, now you're instead of needing to roll 4, you need to roll 2. That's huge.
That's a 50% reduction in your
that's
need.
That's huge in Savage Worlds.
But that goes both ways.
Right. I think one of my favorite house rules... oddly, it's one of my own. I really just like the using vigor and spirit to get out of shake and to soak. I just think it makes sense.
It's one of those, you know. Sometimes some house rules just make sense, you know. And sometimes house rules don't make sense. Paradox.
Well, the way that paradox
Yeah, the way that paradox would use was dumb. That's obviously my least favorite house rule that anyone ever used was that one.
You know, I actually haven't encountered any house rules that I would view as negatively. I've been very, very lucky,
well,
I think.
We've been lucky that we generally play in groups that have sane GMs. For the most part. Although I think Jeremy's probably been in his share of insane GM games.
I've survived.
Yeah.
You will survive. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, do we have anything to add to our little brief discussion on house rules?
Just keep them out in the open. Don't keep them secret if you're going to use them.
Don't be crazy.
I mean, if it's something like a house rule in the sense that it's like a new ritual or something, well, yeah, that doesn't necessarily need to be out.
Yeah.
But like, I if it's a rule change.
As a GM, you need to be willing to be flexible.
Yeah.
As a player, you need to be willing to be tolerant. And, you know, be receptive to criticism. And if you do a house rule, make sure you ask your players what they think and not just sort of implement it broadly.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me.
Well, you could listen to what they think and say, I disagree.
Well, yeah.
And then just move on.
But at least listen to what they think.
Yeah.
You know.
Or at least
give them the illusion that they have something.
Yeah, at least keep your eyes open.
Right.
And do not say anything while you pretend to listen.
Uh-huh.
And then when they stop talking, go, all right, let's play.
Exactly.
And file that away.
All righty. Well, unless you guys have something else, we'll be back after this. And we are back, and today on our three-parter, I've got some news to go over that I want to share with some people, and Jeremy's got a review, and Nathan's going to talk about a bit about what he's into, and we're going ahead and kick it off with Jeremy and his review.
The review.
Hello, this is Jeremy, and I speak.
You do speak.
So, I was at Half Off Books a while ago, and it was a big Half Off Books.
That's the one on Westport, isn't it?
In Westport, yes.
What were you doing all the way out in Westport?
We were going to the Record Bar.
Record Bar?
Wait, Record Bar occasionally, okay. Now I have to tell my story. The Record Bar
Was that the cat sneezing?
No, it's the TV making weird noises.
Anyway, Record Bar.
Record Bar has rock and roll music for kids.
Right.
And our nephew...
Henry Rollins was at the Record Bar at the beginning of April.
That's awesome.
I wish I would have known sold out too quick.
Well, they also have rock and roll music for kids, the Bebops or Boppa Boobs or something. Anyway, they're old rockers who now do music for kids.
Sweet.
My nephew and my niece like to go. They're like really little. And also it's a bar.
Sure.
They have kids food, but they also have bar stuff, so it's great for parents and uncles and, you know, whatever. So we went there. Well, that was fine. It was cool. And then we had to leave, and we walked outside. Well, we didn't have to leave, but we were ready to leave. And we went outside and we're like, hey, that's a Half Off Bookstore. And it's huge.
Yeah, so I think it was the first one in Kansas City.
It's big. So anyway, we started looking around. And I noticed that they had, which was kind of funny already, they had the 4E Essential books.
They had them all or just a couple of them?
All of them.
Nice. Obviously somebody sold them.
Now,
either someone needed some money or looked at them and went, I don't like this.
I'm not sure why people don't like them because, but anyway, so I picked up a extra copy of the rule book of the GM rule book, or not the GM rule book, they're just the rule book. And I picked up a copy of the Well, actually, I thought about picking up the other two players' handbooks that they had, but I decided not to. But one thing I did notice is on the shelf, they had the Monster Vault. Now, obviously, it's not in the box. It's just the book. I don't care about the tokens. Fine. I can find plenty of tokens.
Can I pick up real quick? Do you need it for your review?
Well, yeah.
You continue your review. I was going to flip it while you're. You don't memorize your reviews? God, Jeremy, how unprofessional of you.
But I want to look at the picture.
Oh, well, that's okay. I like pictures.
Anyway, so the Monster Vault, a horde of iconic creatures for any campaign. Now, I was able to purchase this for $14.98.
Is that good price?
Sure. It's cheaper than buying it for $30-some that the, I don't know, the box set is something like that. I don't know.
Box set's probably $30.
Yeah. But, you know what? I think it's worth $15.
Good.
Because this is the monster book that should have come out first. Why? And this is the easiest thing, the easiest reason why. There are four elemental archons in here.
It's $30. That's in the that's a box set. So.
Four elemental archons: earth, fire, ice, or water. I know there's not air, but that's more so than in the first Monster Manual. Mm-hmm. They only had two, which was stupid. Yeah. Now, I liked the first Monster Manual.
That WotC should have put out Essentials books first.
Right. Then they went into, guess what? Basculus. Everybody loves Basculus. Fine. That's great. Beholders. They had all the great Beholders. Uh-huh. Beholders. And then Land Sharks.
Land Sharks.
Yulee! And then another reason why this is great, if you go to the elemental section.
Candygram.
Oh, Candygram.
Yep. Candygram. In the elemental section, they actually list four different types of elementals.
Whoa.
That is insane.
Are they like cheese?
That is the most, that is the like most insane thing I've ever heard.
Corn.
I mean, back in first edition, chocolate second elementals. Edition. Third edition, 3.5. Guess what? In the Monster Manual, they had all the elementals. Whoa. But in fourth edition, the first book, they had half of them. Now, these are only level one.
Well, they had half the dragons, too.
Well, they still only have half the dragons.
Yeah.
But really, they don't want you necessarily fighting and killing the so-called good dragons.
Oh, yeah,
it's kind of bad.
Like, that'll never happen in a D&D game.
But anyway, they have the lesser air elementals, fire and water. Hey, that's a plus. Mm-hmm. Actually, they have all the elementals. I am so.
They go to that.
I'm surprised.
See, I really wish that WotC would sort of advertise a bit more about the content of some of their stuff, because then I would have been interested in buying them.
This is a neat book.
But instead, they stressed the point that it was coming in a box set with tokens, and they didn't tell you what the monsters were.
You have seen these monsters before.
Sure.
But these monsters have been. There's a few changes. The nice thing is they give you a bunch of vampires. This is an example. In the Monster Manual, I think there's like two.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, you have your Elder Vampire Spawn. You have a Vampire Night Witch, a Master Vampire. So you have a few extras. With the Lich, same mm-hmm. thing. You have extra Liches. I think you have like two instead of just the one. I'm going to go find the Lich because I really kind of like the Lich. Minotaurs, Mind Flayers. Yeah, the Mind Flayers have like four pages. Medusas have both the male and female Medusas. You'll notice,
that's cool.
And if you actually look at this book, the pictures are the tokens because they want you to use the tokens, but actually have the pictures, and the art is not bad in here. Lycanthropes, they still only have the Werrats and the Werewolves. Now, that's pretty common. I understand that. Most people don't really think about like werebears or anything like that. I do because I remember fondly. Okay, like in Liches, they have the Lich Necromancer, pretty normal from the main book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Lich Remnant, which is a minion, level 16 minion. That's kind of scary. But then they have the Lich Soul Reaver.
Whoa.
I mean, that's just.
Can I play one of those?
No. Damn it. Now, they have a couple of different monsters of different levels. They have the normal stuff at the back of the book, what the keywords do. I mean, it's all pretty simple. If you played 4E before, you're already going to, you know, catch on. Sure. They even have a section for animals. Pretty straightforward. Guess what? You have
bears, crocodiles, horses, hyenas, rats.
Really?
Sharks, yeah.
They have dogs or wolves in there this time?
They do have wolves, yes.
It took them for bloody ever snakes, to put out
spiders,
stats for animals again.
Because obviously dorks. You can't have animals.
That just annoyed me.
And wolves. They don't have dogs necessarily, but you know, yeah, most people don't go around and kill dogs.
So, in essence, this is further evidence that WotC should have just done and put out the Essentials books first.
Now,
rather than waiting.
The most powerful creature in the book is a Baylor. So,
okay, that jives.
You're not going to have.
What about
some
the Turesque?
No, because those specific ones are not in here. Because this is just the basic. You think of basic.
Turesque is a
but with this
thing.
With this book, with the essentials, you would not need anything else. Now you can look at it. So I actually, for if it wasn't in a box set, I would tell people to go out and buy it.
Lesser elementals, greater elementals, about time.
I mean, you know, is it perfect? No. But does it give you what you need? Yes. Is it?
Although I notice it only has the lesser elements.
It does, sadly. But leveling them up, not
now that you have a baseline to go off of, you can actually.
All I care is they actually put in all of the elemental.
Yeah.
Is it? I just thought it was stupid. In the first ones, they're like, oh, you can only have two or one. So I would say if you can find just the book. If you need the tokens, fine. But I think $30 is kind of ridiculous, personally.
I think it's funny that someone brought the book back. That means they just kept tokens.
They might have.
The tokens can be used for anything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, tokens can be used for anything.
But, yeah.
But, I mean, something as simple.
I always liked owlbears.
Something as simple as a horse. They have horses in there. I mean,
oh,
they have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like as
imagine
a mount.
That.
Like, just a typical.
That's for a freaking horse.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's simple things that players are
I'm
like.
Not bitter.
No, you're not. I've actually been looking for a supplement that just has animals.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I found a few. I don't want any. I just want typical normal animals.
Yeah.
Now, some of that stuff, they can just be minions, whatever.
Do
but
you need stats for a chicken?
What
about a chicken?
How about a
swarm?
Dire chicken?
Well, I'm still going to have to put in a dire skunk at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The smell. It's
so
overpowering. I have two thumbs, so I'm going to give it two thumbs.
I'm glad you still have two thumbs.
I do.
They have some dragons in here. I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They do. They have all the dragons. And the dragons, all the bat.
Yeah, I was saying,
all these
like
so-called
all
evil
ones.
Dragons.
Looks like they got.
I do like how
blue,
they.
Black, green, white.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
And red.
Red.
I mean, that's.
Obviously, yeah. Then the Deathbringer Dracolich.
Yeah, then they have the Dracolich. You have to have the Dracolich. And the Death Knight.
Dracolich is
now,
just cool.
Now, one thing you won't see in there. Templates.
Yeah, I bet.
I bet if I would have picked up the GM, the DM book,
Lord.
The DM book probably had the templates. But guess what? I don't want the DM's book. I looked at it.
That is an awesome dragon
picture. The Dragonborn.
That's an awesome Dragonborn picture.
Cool.
And you know what's sad? At playing a Dragonborn, you can't get to the point like in the actual
wings?
Where you have wings. That's lame. You should be able to get to a point where you have wings.
Well, because they picture them with wings.
Oh, yeah, and
the
other
and
monster,
the monster manual.
Manual
has one with
oh, yeah.
I'm like, why can't I have wings, mother?
They're awesome. You could get wings. I think it should be a feat or something. Anyway, doesn't matter. I would say if you can find it, especially at a half-off bookstore, it's worth it.
I still don't like how they picture the dwarves.
I don't like really the pictures. But the art is still better. It's better than a lot of books. Also, I don't like – this is just me. I still don't
like – I like the Sturge picture.
I still
that's a nice looking Sturge.
I still have a problem with elves and Eladrin.
What
being,
is that? Is it a Sturge
mixed together?
That's a pretty cool picture, though.
Oh yeah, that one's cool. But I think of that's another discussion.
It makes me think of Dark Crystal.
Well,
it has
it does.
I won't go into my rant about elves and Eladrin and the differences because to me there's a difference. But anyway, this Monster Manual, it's a pretty good buy for what I spent.
Cool. Sounds neat. Let's go.
I think I might even have a gift card at the time.
Sweet. Well, I'm going to steal this.
So if you can get it outside the box, get it.
No,
you can find it with the box.
You can get it in the box. I bet you can find it used various places for $20, you know, probably.
But it would be worth $20 in the box with all the tokens.
Yeah. Oh, looks pretty good. All right, cool.
Well, and the nice thing, too, you could actually just go in and print this off, and I bet these are the right size.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And it'd be nice if they were available in an ebook format because they're the right size for a nice Kindle.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying, Watsy.
Watsy, if you would put them out in Kindle size or ebooks, you would go up like two steps in my mind.
Uh-huh.
Is that a long ways in your mind?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's a long ways in the sense steps. Of, yeah, they're big steps.
They're not baby steps.
They're not big steps.
I mean, they're still near the bottom.
Like the step pyramid, big step.
You know, there's the sewer, and then there's below the sewer, and then there's really below the sewer. Well, they're below that.
Oh.
But they are making their way up.
That's
why are you so why are they so low? I mean, I may not be look favorable upon wizards, but they're not below the sewer.
Eh. There's other companies that are even lower than that.
Wow.
Palladium.
Oh, Palladium. Palladium doesn't even have a spot. I mean, there's
the foundation with sewers.
I mean, Wizard is. I mean, they're way up above Palladium.
No, there were mongoose for
some. Right, right. I mean, you know, Palladium.
You mean in the ninth ring of hell?
No, that's too cool. Yeah, Palladium
that's
is
far too awesome. For
Palladium
them to be there.
Is soaking up the urine from the cats. That's the circle of. Whatever they're in.
Well, it'll have to be the abyss. We're talking infinite layers, really.
That's true. Ooh, an abyssal layer of cat piss.
Whoa.
Oh.
I have now given Jeremy an idea for a campaign.
You know how right horrifying? You would just smell it first. Uh-huh. You would smell that
I've
whip.
Been washing all the...
This demon would come out and he'd be like, oh, gods, why, where was I?
Cats peed on something in our closet. I've been washing everything.
And you still smell it. Even when you know you found it, and you've washed it. You can still be like
the cat piss demons would chase out all the other.
Yeah, watch it. We want cat piss demons. We want them, and we want them now.
We want that. That would again raise you up a couple of levels. And I want them peeing. Can I say that on the radio? I can say that.
Yes.
I want them peeing on a Palladium, spelled differently. Something or other. I don't know. Monster? No. Palladium? What? Book? No. That'd be two. No. I don't know. We need something.
Kevin J. Anderson?
Sure.
Okay. Anyway.
What we're into.
Hello, everyone. This is Nathan.
Hi, Nathan.
As you can see, I am not really...
Are you an alcoholic?
An alcoholic?
No, not yet. Give me a couple more weeks of having job rejection offer job rejection letters, and I probably will be. I'm going to do a section on what I'm into right now, and it really doesn't have a lot to do with role playing games. I mean, we're doing our 40K game, which I'm having a great time with.
Yes, I'm sad I'm missing next game.
We really could have used your help last week.
Yeah.
Our dice. It wasn't. There was nothing wrong with the game setting. There was nothing wrong with the way Andre was playing. Our dice, the player's dice, wanted us dead. We could not roll.
It was probably good I wasn't there.
Yeah, we could not roll to save ourselves.
I'm gonna come back. My character's gonna come back after like missing these two sessions and be like, "So what's up, guys? Fuck you.
Where the hell have you been? Yeah.
Like it's the usual reception for my character.
Yeah. But no, it's yeah. But no, I haven't been. I haven't been doing a lot of role-playing stuff. I've been working on my idea for a setting called Of Rocket Ships and Spacemen for Savage Worlds, only to find out that it's pretty much a lot like Slipstream.
Meh. So?
Yeah. It's just one of those, it's the whole, something, a unique, interesting idea. Oh, they already have that. It's Slipstream. Son of a bitch!
Meh. I say we still do it.
Yeah, I still am. I'm not giving up. Are you kidding? I've invested like 7 hours of work into it already, which may not sound like much, but for me, for typing, that's a lot of work.
Uh-huh.
But no, actually what I picked up is I picked up this book here. Someone gave me a bunch of old Amiga books, and so I've decided to learn something here, and I'll show that to Ethan.
Nathan learning.
Yeah, it's C programming. Oh, C programming for the absolute beginner.
Mm-hmm.
And so far I've been having a good time reading through it, which is interesting because I hated programming in COBOL and I hated Perl, and I didn't even want to look at Java. It's not something that I've been required to have for my job, but you know, C programming is very portable, not in its size, but in the fact that with some minor changes to the code, you can pretty much transport it to any platform and compile it. Mm-hmm. So it allows me to, you know, make something, and then I can go, okay, well, I want to put this over here. And with a couple of changes here and there, it works
Nathan,
there.
Nathan is becoming a code monkey.
Yes.
Oh.
You like Fritos?
And Mountain Dew?
You like Tab and Mountain Dew?
I like Mountain Dew. I don't care for Tab.
Okay. Give him time.
Yeah, give him time. But the thing is, it's a nice stepping block from since.
Warm by the secret heart?
No. Okay. I have a.
Give him time. Give him time.
But, it's a good stepping stone because it's the basis of all of the higher level languages like C++ and C# and stuff like that. I don't really intend to do anything crazy with it. Maybe, you know, make a simple video game or something. But it gives me something to do while I'm looking for a job and I don't feel like painting because I don't feel like painting.
Sure.
So it's been very interesting. It's kind of neat to see stuff, but I really see now why, you know, they say math is so important to computer users. If you're programming, yes. Math is very, 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 very important.
I'd imagine it uses lots of formula-style things.
Yeah. You're using – a lot of times you end up doing integers, and you'll need integers for X, Y, and Z. So you're working in a three-dimensional plane, which makes sense when you think about it. Basically what you're doing is you're doing height, width, and depth on the screen.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of cool. It's helping me with my math, which has never been good anyways. You know, you look at the national test and it's like 98, 99, 98, 99, math, 78, back up to 98, 99, common sense, -100.
Do you have a common sense part on that now?
Yeah. Ooh,
I'm so glad I didn't have that on there when I took it.
Yeah, I would have been screwed. But,
Jeremy's like, not me.
It's very interesting. I like the idea of it, and it helps me get ready because, as I've mentioned several times before, there's this retro hobbyist computer coming out called the NAT AMI, which is basically an upgraded Amiga, and they're working on the next developer's board, and it seems to be coming along really, really well, and it's uses, you know, basically C as the base language, like Storm C, which is a modified version of C++. And I'm getting the basics of what I need to do to be able to program in it right now. So it'll be fun. It'll allow me to do some homemade projects. And who knows? Maybe at some point in time I can code my own Pools of Radiance style role playing game. That would be kind of sweet.
What are you gonna call it?
Pond of Luminescence.
I was gonna say.
Quiet, we're running with that now.
Ponds and of Luminescence. I was gonna say puddle of
an adventuring of
luminance,
group,
but that's funny. Pond of Luminosity.
Shifting frogs.
Ribbit.
From the planet Xenon, with the power of lightning.
We're not talking about your science experiment.
Oh, okay. Dang it! The power of lightning. It compels you.
Yeah, it compels you to lie down and go, I'm going to sleep for a little while.
Alrighty.
But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm into right now. If anybody has any good tips for learning to program in C or tips for what not to screw up when I'm programming.
Oh, not to be C.
Yeah, yes. Mr. Wilson, will you please stand up?
Stand up, please.
Mr. Wilson has forgotten the first lesson of how not to be seen. Do not stand up. Not to stand up. Yeah, but that's it for me.
I'm going to get a Monty Python role-playing game. Just, you know, they're doing everything else.
That would just be silly.
Stop that. It's got silly.
All right, that's it. Stop the show. It's too silly.
This just in the news.
Alrighty. Well, I have three bits of news I would like to go over just because, you know, it's final time. And I'd like to just point out three things that I think are kind of cool. First is the serious bit of news that the nominees for the 2011 Origins Awards have been announced.
So I'm going to give you a quick rundown. The Origins Awards, of course, are the best RPG, best board game, best miniature rules, etc., etc., etc. Going to be announced at the Origins Game Fair June 22nd through 26th, which is a very quaintly and nicely positioned 2 weeks before CantCon. Mm-hmm. So you can go get this out of the way and then come to the real convention at CantCon.
Right.
Anyway, we'll see if any of these, we recognize any of these. Best game-related publications nominees are No Quarter Magazine from Privateer Press, Hamlet's Hit Points from Game Playwright, Family Games, The 100 Best from Green Ronin Publishing, Shadowrun, Spells, and Chrome from Catalyst Game Labs, and World at War, Revelation from Lock and Load Publishing. I have heard about Hamlet's Hit Points and Family Games, The 100 Best. Green Ronin did a book a couple years back that was... it wasn't Family Games. It was some other games. God, I think it was just Best 100 Games, the 100 Best Games. That was really good. But I went to the Hamlet's Hit Points seminar at Gen Con, and I have the book at home. I haven't had a chance to really look through it too thoroughly, but it's really cool. It's a analysis of three different – it's analysis of Dr. No – two other movies that I can't think. Casablanca, Dr. No, and something else, I think. From the point of view of a role-playing game. Actually, it was really interesting, and it's written by Robin Laws, who did Feng Shui. You know how much I love him. Anyway, Best Historical Board Game nominees are Warlords of Europe, Conflict of Heroes, Prince of Honor Poland 1939. That's all one right there, Conflict of Heroes. Catan History, Settlers of America, Trails to Rails, and Panzer General Allied Assault. I'm at least familiar with Panzer General, and I know what Catan is. So anyway, moving on. Best Miniatures Rules. There are Adventures in the Lost Lands, the Battletech Technical Readout 3085.
That's an awesome one.
The DC HeroClix Blackest Night Starter Game, which I actually have. Hordes Primal MK2. And Merck's Game Rules from Merck's Miniatures. Only one on this that I have seen is DC HeroClix Blackest Night Starter Game, which I don't know why. I don't know if they changed the rules too much in that. I'll have to take a closer look, but kind of interesting that it's on here from WizKids NECA. Battletech, obviously, always a fun one. Best Gaming Accessory. The nominees are Color Primer Dragon Red from the Army Painter. Adventure Tiles from Battle Bunker Games, Battlefield XP Swamp Tufts from Army Painter. Yeah, I think they're stretching. The Cthulhu Dice Bag from Steve Jackson Games, and Battletech Hex Pack Lakes and Rivers from Catalyst Game Labs. Actually, that's pretty cool. I saw that at Tabletop. But I haven't seen the Cthulhu Dice Bag. Are you familiar with that at all? Is it cool? Is it nifty?
It's a dice bag, but it's got great designs and stuff on it.
Sweet. Best family party or children's game is Legretto Dice from Playroom. Playroom does good stuff. We like Playroom. Telestrations, USAopoly Incorporated. Wits and Wagers Family Edition from North Star. Word on the Street Junior from Out of the Box. And Zombie Dice from Steve Jackson Games.
I like Zombie Dice.
Zombie Dice is awesome. It's a fun quick
Flipping beer and pretzels game.
I know after
it's
a while.
It's also, it's also a game you're done in like 2 minutes. So I mean you can just keep going.
When the electricity goes out.
Exactly.
It's a good game.
That's what we did too. Yeah. Wits and Wagers I've heard is really good, but I've never played it.
It's fun.
I like Word on the Street. And Out of the Box does good stuff, so. Best Traditional Card Game. There's Ascension, Chronicle of the Godslayer from Gary Gaines. Never heard of it. Back to the Future, the card game from Lunia Labs. We have it. Never haven't played it yet.
I heard it's supposed to be really good.
It's like Chrononauts, but it's a sort of a streamlined version of it, so it's not nearly as complicated, and it's based on Back to the Future.
Yeah, I love Chrononauts. Chrononauts is awesome.
Yeah, but it's kind of an intimidating game, and it can take you a while
to play.
So I think Back to the Future, is sort of streamlined. I think it probably is going to even better, easier to sort of lean people in if they like that one, then play Chrononauts type of thing. Hicho from Glowfly Games. Hex Hex XL from Smirk and Dagger, and Railways of the World, the card game from Eagle Games.
We played Hex. I don't know if you played Hex.
We've played Hex. I don't know about Hex XXL.
Hex was great. Hex XXL, as far as I know, is Hex Hex with all the expansions in it.
Sweet.
I think. I think that's what they had for sale at Gen Con last year. Best board game is Castle Ravenloft from Wizards of the Coast. Defenders of the Realm from Eagle Games. I'm curious as to what that one is. Fresco from Queen Games, Lords of Vegas from Mayfair, and Nuns on the Run from Mayfair.
Nuns on the Run.
Yeah, that could be entertaining. Mayfair, hit and miss. Only one on here I've really seen is Castle Ravenloft, although I think I might have seen Nuns on the Run like at the shelf at Tabletop.
I would play, you know, some of those board games, those particular...
James has Castle Ravenloft.
Yeah, I would play them. I'm just... When it comes to, like, D&D board games, I'm always hesitant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the one that they put out that never actually got released here was pretty much why not just play D&D
right.
thing.
And my mind always goes to, well, I want to do more. Why do I want to play this board game?
Exactly. And
I don't know if it's good or bad.
It's
supposed
to be pretty good, but I'm reluctant to drop 50, $60 on it just in case it's good. I'll have to get James over and try to play it at some point when we have time.
Mooch off your friends if they have it.
Hey, if they've spent money on it, go right ahead. Best role-playing supplement, A Song of Fire and Ice campaign guide for A Song of Ice and Fire campaign guide for A Song of Ice and Fire RPG. From Green Ronin Publishing. The Dresden Files, Our World, from the Dresden Files RPG, from Evil Hat Publishing, Evil Hat Productions. The Advanced Player's Guide for Pathfinder, from Paizo. Sixth World Almanac for Shadowrun, from Catalyst Games. And Sunward, the Inner System for Eclipse Phase, from Posthuman Studios. I've seen Sunward, it's very cool. I still need to read Eclipse Phase. Shadowrun is Shadowrun. The Advanced Player's Guide is quite good for Pathfinder, but I think it's going to come down probably to Dresden because everybody loves Evil Hat and everybody loves
Dresden.
People do love Dresden, but everybody loves the Spirit of the Century rule set, and that's what Dresden Files is sadly based on. In other words, those are great source books to play in something
Savage
that doesn't
Worlds.
Suck.
Or Mage.
I think it would work great
Dresden
in World. Well, just
Mage.
World of Darkness. You know, Dresden, and that would work great. Or, dare I say it, Savage Worlds.
Yeah, but it would be an excuse to play World of Darkness.
Mm-hmm. Well, just take Mage the Ascension and modify it a bit, and you got Dresden Files. I would guarantee you. I know Jim Butcher is a gamer, and I guarantee you that had some influence on him. As far as I guarantee you, that Mage the Ascension or anything like that.
Do you hear that?
There you go.
Yeah. Talk to him.
And the nominees for Best Role-Playing Game are DC Adventures from Green Ronin Publishing. In other words, that's Mutants and Masterminds 3rd Edition.
Sweet.
Dragon Age Set 1 from Green
Ronin
Publishing.
It was fun. I have to say that was fun.
The Dresden Files RPG from Evil Hat. Fiasco from Bully Pulpit. And the Gamma World RPG from Wizards.
It's too silly.
Yeah. For me... This comes down to DC Adventures and Dragon Age, and I'm a sucker for the DC Adventures.
I am too, but
so
Dragon
good.
Age,
Dragon
the
Age was
rules
awesome.
Were just awesome.
I would honestly love it if either of those took it. Dragon Age is such
even
a great
without the world.
I think Dragon Age, the Dragon Age game that Chris Premis put out, that wrote and designed and did for Green Ronin, is a perfect introductory type of game for gamers.
Now,
it is simple and it is fun.
For me, do I personally like the setup where you have to get like levels 1 through whatever and then blah blah blah.
Sure.
No, but for you're right. For someone
jumping
in. It was
so easy to pick up.
Oh god, yes. And it was fun. Even for an old time gamer, it's fun.
And I need to get the next books for it because I just really enjoy, I want to support that game. And DC Adventures is just so good. Mutants and Masterminds 3rd Ed is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It just works so beautifully.
Their little players book was really nice.
Oh yeah, the Hero's Handbook, the generic one, right? And I guarantee you they're going to do a pocket one at some point. It's just
see,
gonna
it's
take
almost
and,
pocket. It's
well, all
not
of their Mutants
and
Masterminds books are I think it's more like European size type.
Yeah,
of book. They're good.
Now it was 32,
nice. But it's still beautiful.
But it is
book.
A nice book.
Great art, great layout, full color.
It is very nice and
it's beautiful. Book.
But it gives you the rules. If they did a cheaper pocket. One?
Yeah, if they did a pocket one, it's probably in pockets or the digest size like the Essentials book there or like the Savage Worlds books. And it's usually half the price of the normal book. So it'd be what, like $16.95, something like that?
That would be fine. Then you could have a couple.
I'd totally freaking go for that, even though I bought both the books.
Well, that's why I have so many Savage World ones, because it's like...
Duh, winning.
Yeah. Everybody at the table...
Just don't lie.
Jeez, I loaned one out to stinking...
I'm going to save that for the last.
Yeah.
The other thing, I don't know if you spotted this. I posted it up on Facebook, Nathan. Did you see about the Superboy?
Superboy.
Mm-hmm. A company called Hyperkin is putting out a portable Super Nintendo handheld unit.
How can they do so?
It'll play both Super Nintendo and Famicom games.
How can they legally do that?
Not sure, but they've got ones out for Nintendo already. Like handheld ones for Nintendo.
What's the name of that company?
Hyperkin.
Hyperkin.
I'm going to look that up.
And it's probably going to... See, Jeremy?
Huh.
It's going to have a little LCD screen, about 3.5-inch LCD screen. It has ports on the front to actually plug in controllers if you need them.
And a lot of those games are so stinking cheap now.
And the awesome thing is it plays both Famicom games, too. So, I mean...
No, Super Famicom games, you said.
Yeah, the Super Famicom ones. But they have, this company also has Nintendo ones. They also have Genesis one. They also have console decks for that, like top loader ones for Nintendo that also have a port for Sega Genesis. They have ones for Super Nintendo. They have ones for N64, stuff like that. I'm like, dude.
Five and a half hour.
Awesome.
5.5 hour battery life. Tested only once and without sound.
Yes. I mean the Superboy is not for sale yet. They're still working on it. But dude, that's awesome.
I tested compatible with original hardware: Super NES controller, Super Scope, Super Multi Tap,
Super Scope.
Yeah, Super Scope and Nintendo that Mario Paint awesome. Mouse. On that tiny ass little screen.
I would do it just for Mario.
Compatible with Japanese Super Famicom cartridges, tested and confirmed working with American cartridges, Super Mario RPG, Star Fox, Super Mario World, Donkey Kong Country, Zelda, Noah's Ark 3D. Aerobiz and PAL Europe cartridges are untested.
We sometimes just touch on video games, but dude, I love Super Nintendo. And I saw that, was like,
Super NES has
no price on
it
yet, but going by the prices on their other stuff, it's probably going to be $50-$60.
Let's see.
Hypercon.
Which is pretty awesome. But they also sell like replacement parts and stuff like that for Nintendo, Super Nintendo, all that stuff. So, yeah. I mean, they've obviously
if you want
replacement like Nintendo logo doors and stuff like that. So they obviously, I'm sure it's a license agreement they have with Nintendo.
Did you see this though?
This I right probably here. Have
the Retron 3.
Uh huh.
It does. It's got wireless controllers, but it does Nintendo, Sega Genesis, and Super Nintendo, all in one machine. $69.99.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Well, speaking of awesome, I spotted some news today that people here at this table are going to find awesome. Pinnacle Entertainment. We all know Pinnacle. They do Deadlands, Savage Worlds, all that. They're putting out Deadlands minis through Reaper.
Right.
Will they announce a new thing? Pinnacle Entertainment Group will officially announce this coming Tuesday that they're going to be selling Savage Worlds Deluxe, a hardcover printing of the Savage Worlds rule set, priced at $29.99, 160 pages, hardback, full size. It's going to also include notes about the development of the system and like house rules and stuff like that. It's obviously but $29.99, 160 page, hardback, full size, Savage Worlds Deluxe.
Sweet.
I mean, that's awesome.
That's cool.
Because we're all whores for Savage Worlds. So
hey, Savage Worlds is a very well done system. Mm-hmm. What can we say?
And if you go back about 50 or 60 episodes, you'll find that we're all like, Savage Worlds sucks, whatever. Then we all actually looked at it and was like, wait.
I don't think anybody actually said Savage Worlds sucks. Everyone said, that's our idea of a system.
That was weird.
Ooh, Savage Worlds Deluxe coming out.
They have a color picture of it. It's pretty.
Is it?
It's pretty. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. So Savage Worlds Deluxe, that is my news, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you. Random Encounters.
And we are back, and a few things on the Random Encounters board today. I had to I spent a good part of yesterday moving my desktop computer into another case.
So that case worked out for you?
No, I had to go buy a new one.
Uh-huh. What happened to your old case?
Two things started happening. One was just annoying, and the other was like, okay, time for a new one. The
drive?
The drive was mounted all that way? That sort of got problematic after a while. But that being said, once you ejected it, you had to pretty much jam the thing back past the lip, because it would get caught on the
case.
The tray would get caught on the case.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Now, I don't know if that was, you know, it warped or whatever, what happened.
And the drive just got old.
Yeah. But the other thing was, whenever I tried to plug something into the front panels, whether it be USB or the audio connectors, the system would restart.
Oh, jeez.
So it had a ground out on it, because what was happening is it would send an electrical charge to the motherboard. Oh, that sucks.
Yep. So I went to Micro Center, bought one of their $20, you know, cheapy cases.
And it didn't work.
No, mine didn't work that I gave him.
No. He had his old Dell, but the problem with the only cases I had were Dells and...
You should have called me. I've got three cases sitting in the basement you could have had.
Yeah, it's okay. The only ones I had were Dell and Gateway, and those are all proprietary, and my motherboard wouldn't fit in them. So I was like,
of course, because the actual standoff spots on the system are proprietary based. Yeah. Now, if you need a case, just let me know, because I've got three of those old Zions sitting in the basement. You know, those massive cases. You know, you could beat a home invader to death with. Yeah.
But it got transferred to a new case just fine, and it works great. There's no problems with it. So I mean, there's no permanent damage to it. You know, spontaneously restarting and grounding out. Plus, you know, I got a case that is about 4 inches deeper, so there's more room now.
Yeah, so you don't have to.
The biggest problem with that other one is it was just
that
so
video card
cramped.
Was getting that video card in there, and that thing was tiny too.
Yeah,
it was like
card took up about 80%, 85% of the length of that damn thing.
Yeah, because it's only a 9.5-inch video card. That's the smallest they come.
I know.
Like Jesus.
Oh,
that was a cool-looking case, though. You have to admit, that was a cool-looking case.
I need to let people know, we've had been having a couple problems on the website now. As far as I know, first of all, there's been some problems with getting some old episodes, especially if some of our actual play to download. As far as I know, I think that was the WordPress caching program, a plugin I had installed. What I did is I took it off, and I think it's fixed the whole problem. So please let us know if you're having any problems downloading any of the actual play, any of the older episodes, any of that good stuff. The other problem we were having with the site was logging into the forums was problematic. We're getting database errors and whatnot.
Yeah, I encountered
I kind of got fed up with it, and I uninstalled that plugin and reset it and managed to go in and fix what was wrong. And now you can log in. It's just you can't log in on one side and be automatically logged in on the other anymore. So I think we can all deal with that. But now it's stable. It's working great. So
did you see this?
Did I see what?
FC16 Go Portable? That one's already available.
Uh-huh.
It's a Super NES portable one.
Uh-huh. Let's see. We got an email from Sanjian Unkara.
Sanjian!
Who is a message for you, Nathan, about the 40K game. He's like, you don't have to worry too much about having your little IG heart ripped out. As much fun as Andre's games are, I'm not playing in his 40K game. And then he says, Kalima! So a little threat
right
there from Sanjian. And Sanjian, of course, as we know, is I think he hasn't ponied up to it, but I think he was he was the actual villain in Temple of Doom.
Probably.
That guy.
Yeah. I wish
yes,
he was eaten by
crocodiles or alligators at the end, but who cares?
He's okay.
He's a villain. He can come back to
the what's
dead.
Interesting is the actor that played him never played a villain before that, and after he played that role, he played villains for the rest of his career.
And he never shaved his head before, and after that he went all Yul Brynner and shaved his head every day.
Yeah.
After he did that part.
Yeah.
We got a new marker on our map from someone named Sentry Gun. So we have a Sentry Gun on our minion map.
Sweet. Now, where is it?
And he's, I believe, let me look here. We now have 20 markers on the map, which I'm pretty jazzed about.
Hell yeah.
I believe this is the guy that's way the heck up in, he's way the heck up in, sort of mid Canada. Let me see. Any Superman, apparently. That's his icon, is Superman. Just as soon as... There we go. This was the funny part. He's in Dawson Creek.
Dawson Creek, Canada.
Dawson Creek, Canada.
I'm sure they hear a lot of bullshit about that all the time.
Very near the Alaska Highway.
Huh.
Just cool. Saying.
But he is... I don't even see any big towns off that way. Yeah. But that's where he is. So take a gander at our map.
See that's that awesome.
He's out in the middle of nowhere.
Whoa.
He's up in Alberta, it looks like. So I want to give a shout out and say hey to Sentry Gun. Thanks for posting on the forums. Or thanks for posting your pin on the map. Thanks for putting Superman up there. Please, anyone who wants to, go to our website and slap in a...
Don't we have a phone number?
We do have a phone number, yes. That represents the entirety of any sort of feedback and messages that I have right now.
I wonder if the Eighth Pagan has any minions.
If so, they should only have one hit point.
Or I'm wondering if there's like an eighth pagan spouse.
Is she the eighth and a half pagan?
Well, I don't know.
Or is she the eighth paganess?
Or the master pagan?
The master pagan. Is there a master pagan?
I don't know.
Huh.
Pagan one.
Well, I know. We have established that the ninth pagan tried to kill him, but he thwarted that attempt. I wonder if he actually killed the ninth pagan or if the ninth pagan just escaped.
And took his power.
Maybe he's married to the ninth. Maybe his wife is the ninth pagan.
Holy crap.
And it's like an epic struggle through time that these two have.
I don't know if that would work out as a marriage, because you'd be like trying to sleep and then you'd wake up and one of them would have a knife and
like,
then they would struggle.
Oh, honey, gosh.
And they'd hire assassins and like...
That'd be awesome. I think we've got a movie. We've got a sitcom. It's a sitcom. Sweet.
First we have to find an eighth
and then, of course, by the time this goes out, I'm going to try to get this thing out as soon as possible. So I'll try to edit it really quick together and get it posted. But the CantCon, as of today when we're recording it, April 15th, we have about 12 days left in the CantCon pre-registration.
We have about $2,500, too.
And if you want to get in on some of that stuff, especially those beer mugs,
go donate
those dice,
$500.
Yes, or if you want to scrape together, get a party together, get a bunch of people together to scrape up $500 to donate, you can choose what to permanently tattoo onto our friend Tracy's body.
Within reason.
Well, it has to be below his neck, and it has to be role-playing game related. I'm saying if you own a company, this is permanent ad space.
Whoa.
Permanent ad space. Otherwise, I'm thinking of a Hello Kitty tattoo, you know, and maybe with dice to make it role-playing oriented.
Ooh, maybe if it's a Hello Kitty with like a sword stabbing like...
Well, something. I have seen those, you know, Hello Kitty 40K.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in the grim dark future, there is Hello Kitty, and Hello Kitty wants to kill you. So, yeah, some like chibi Space Marine or something.
Chibi Space Marine.
We're talking, you know, permanent ad space on Tracy's body. So, hey, you only have 12 days
as long
from
as it's
now,
not offensive.
From April 5th.
I think he had some ground rules.
So if it's before April 27th, you can
but
can't possibly tattoo
$500 anyway, just because.
Well, yeah,
so
because
you
we're
could
awesome.
Just give a like $500, mm-hmm. or even $25.
Now, if it's after the 27th, then you can still go to our website and just pre-register for CantCon. But you don't get any of this neat stuff. You just are going to get the regular swag bag and a couple raffle tickets, and that's it.
Yeah, and we'll probably let you in.
And we might let you in if we're feeling up to it.
Well, please, you know we'll let him in without even thinking about it.
That's true. I mean, it's probably going to be my mother at the registration desk.
I'm going to stick the stormtroopers on them, actually.
I am trying to get the Mandalorians to come.
Yeah, those suits were awesome when we saw them at Comic-Con.
I'm trying to entice them to come to Game
But what would they do? I mean, we're not
Well, they do
we're
have
not
the
Star Wars completely.
We're no, we're not. But the thing is, they did have the cool thing where you could put one of your friends in jail for 15 minutes.
Uh-huh. Now, did they? Is that a donation to like a charity, or is that?
Yes.
Generally, it is. Yeah.
Yes, it is a donation to a charity.
Like I know at Gen Con, the Klingons do it for, I think, United Way or something like that.
If we could do like, if
but yeah, I totally want them to come and bring me to jail. And I would anticipate that someone would put me in jail at some point, but. You know.
That could be
as long as I wasn't running a game, I have no problems with being put in jail.
Well, and it's also not like, you know, you're really there. I mean, you can get out. You can ask them to let you out, and they'll let you out pretty much.
Like, can I come back to jail in about 15 minutes?
Yeah. It's all for a good cause. But yeah, I'm really trying to get him to come up to
I need to get some
to
food.
CanCon. More CanCon news. Silver Griffin Games is going to be coming to CanCon as a vendor. They booked the rest of our vendor space. They're going to have two permanent they've booked three tables, one for their stuff, and then two tables they're going to be running games at. Which they are running. They're not making us run because they're, you know, a professional company and all that. No offense to some companies last year. But granted, that guy I think was in Thailand. But, you know, whatever.
He was in Thailand?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy won that.
That would explain a couple things being so far away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have.
I mean, Suzerain was pretty cool.
No, Suzerain itself was cool.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about that is I have enough material that I might be able to run it this year.
Nice.
So,
and that's cool. I mean, it's also Savage Worlds stuff. We love Savage Worlds. But yeah, Silver Griffin Games, who are based out of, I believe, South Dakota. We'll be at CanCon. They're gonna have some running some of their stuff. Obviously they're a small press, but they do Ingenium, which is a fantasy game. They also do
what rule set
Aether. I honestly don't know. They do some Savage World stuff. They do a lot of Savage World stuff. I know that. They are gonna be at CanCon. They do PDF, they do print stuff. Aether is...
I've read a few things. But.
They produce Wellstone City campaign setting for Savage Worlds. Ingenium is an epic fantasy role-playing game over 10 years in the making. It was released in November. And looks like that's all that they do right now. But they're going to be at CanCon running stuff. So, I mean, I'm interested to see... this stuff. They have really nice production quality on their stuff. So, I mean, that's really half the battle. Their stuff actually, you know, looks good.
So, who ended up with the Sword and Wizardry?
I don't know.
The Sword and Sorcery book?
The Sword and Wizardry.
Wizardry.
Blackblade lost the license to it.
Sadly.
Yeah. I don't know who got it. I think John mentioned who got it, but I don't know who it was. Silver Griffin Games, meaning our vendors at CanCon are going to be Silver Griffin Games, Blackblade Publishing, Gamer Ground, and Secret Skeleton Miniatures once more. So
sweet,
that's going to be cool. Local filk artist, the Lone Gunman, is going to be attending CanCon, playing some games, and during breaks he will be playing a couple songs for people. So he's a local artist, so because
he's
cool.
Just that cool of a guy.
Exactly. Well, he's supporting CanCon.
That's awesome, and I hope he has a good time too.
Yeah. Seems like guy seems like a really cool guy. He actually lives down in Gardner, and I just
dinged,
rang bells.
Ethan just leveled up, didn't you hear?
I did.
It was EverQuest. That was the old EverQuest level, right? But ding.
That is what's up for CanCon. We also released the floor plan is up, posted. We're gonna have two permanent tables designated open gaming area throughout the whole con. And now that's so during the con we're gonna have at least two open gaming tables. Throughout the whole day, throughout every slot. If tables are if there's not anything going on at a certain table, that would be of course labeled Open Gaming just for that slot and whatnot. So, and Open Gaming's first come, first serve, all that good stuff. We should have a event catalog relatively soon. And people are still donating product. We got a lot of stuff coming in for the library, a lot of stuff coming in for giveaway. We're going to have a good amount of stuff once again to give away this year, and should be a lot of fun. So, but if it's before the 27th, hit our website and hit cantcon.com. That's with a K and a C. You know, support us. Come to CantCon, have fun. That sort of thing. But in the meantime, if it's after the 27th, you can, of course, just come to the website and pre-register. So, there you have it.
And buy a shirt.
Buy a shirt, yes. You can buy CantCon memorabilia as well. CantCon paraphernalia. Not really memorabilia, really. It's paraphernalia.
Anyway. It'll be worth millions.
Yes, it will be worth millions.
Millions of years.
In zillions of years, when CantCon is bigger than GenCon. Uh-huh. Say awesome.
Haven't seen it yet.
So I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. Hit our website, gamersavingpodcast.com. Hit our forums, which are now completely functional once again. And call our voicemail line at 866-417-1270, I believe is the number. Send us an email, do all that good stuff, say hi. We're interested in what you guys like to say, what you guys want to hear us talk about, what you guys would like us to not talk about. We really don't care. Just let us know.
Yeah. Except if we want to talk about, we're going to talk about.
That's true.
Yeah. Not much you guys can do about that if there's something we really want to talk about.
That's true. But anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Take care.
Adieu.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
That's not canon.